Welcome to Quest for Enlightenment,
a podcast to raise questions, generate ideas, and gather inspiration for the classroom and beyond.
We're your hosts,
Michael Dresick,
Mark Drollinger,
and Brian Seppi.
In this quest for enlightenment, we know we are better together and better with you.
Our quest is ongoing, and we are so glad that you are here.
Our goal is to ensure that we are better today than we were yesterday.
Let's explore today's quest.
All right, everybody, we're here today. We're talking about student-led ed camps. This is a big topic. I know it's a hot topic for a lot of educators out there, but more importantly, it's a hot topic for a lot of kids. It's a unique way to engage student voice and student choice. So today, we thought we'd start our show with bringing in some students. We're here at South Davis Elementary, and we have some students, and they just finished a little over two hours ago, their student-led ed camp sessions, and we're going to capture some of their thinking and hopefully share that with all of you today in a way that you can get this going at your school. So we'll start with introductions. So today we're here with
Kayla, Joey, and Allie.
And Mr. Drollinger.
All right, and we're going to start in with some questions here. So in that, I guess we'll just kind of open this up to everyone on the show and our audience here. So guys, tell us... first of all, there was a ton of excitement in the air about the student ed camps. I walked, I think there were upwards of 12 to 15 concurrent sessions happening at the same time, which was really impressive. I know this is a lot of work for teachers to organize this, and it's a lot on you guys to organize it. So quickly just take us through a bit about your experiences with ed camps, because if I'm correct, you've done this now twice, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So... experience with ed camp, like, it's super fun because you kind of gather information and then you wait and you can't wait, and then you finally get there, and when you finally get there, you practice and you rehearse, and then when you're actually doing it, you just feel amazing and great about, like, watching the audience and their reactions.
Yeah, and we all prepared for it, and it was really great because me and Delaney, we were doing cell phones, and me and her cut out some cell phones for the kindergartners so they could color it, because we all know kindergartners love to draw. And she was going to get the stickers, but she forgot, so that's fine, though. And then my teacher gave us some old cell phones to use to pass out.
So you mentioned kindergartners. What were they doing at the ed camp?
They had one session just for kindergartners because, a lot of times they don't really get a chance to see it. And so it was really exciting because it was really fun to see the kindergartners' reactions and see how they feel about the ed camp. So that's really fun.
Yeah, and I think that this was, like, their first time seeing the ed camps that, ever. Like, not just the kindergartners, but the first graders as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. So thinking about your presentations today, what's the first thing you do? How do you select a topic?
Well, usually we bring out what you like a lot, and you choose a partner, and you see what you both like, and then you get to choose it.
You want to add a little bit to that, Joey, you said?
Well, I was just going to add what she did.
Yeah. But you don't have to have just one partner, or you don't have to have a partner at all to do it.
So it's kind of up to you to choose your topic a little bit, right? So it sounds like you're picking things that you're passionate about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I remember last year I took part in your ed camp as well, and I led a session on sketchnoting, because, like, I was really into sketchnoting at the time. I still am into sketchnoting, and certainly lead a session. And I felt like it was just something I wanted to share, and I wanted to talk through, and I didn't feel pressured, right? So how did you pick your passions?
Well, it's something you're supposed to be comfortable with doing, and you'd feel glad to do it, and you're really excited about doing.
I just picked what I thought was super interesting to me, and it was really fun to explain to other people.
What did you pick?
I picked Germany.
Germany?
Yes.
So it was a topic. All right.
I picked something that I love doing during the winter time. I did ice skating, and I did that with my best friend.
That's great. So after you have your topics selected and your partners figured out, what do you do next?
Well, first you share a slide, and then you start getting facts about your topic. Like with cell phones, you search some of the apps and what was the first cell phone and things like that.
Yeah, and like kind of what Kayla said. But with ice skating, you search like all these different kinds of famous people who have ever ice skated, and you build up on that. And once you put everything together and then you present, it feels awesome, like what Joey said.
Yeah, you could, when you gather information, you could read or look stuff up on, for example, your Chromebook. And like Kayla said, you could have a slide, but then you could also have like a poster board to present that you could both work on.
So it sounds like organizing it is a big part of the work behind the scenes before an ed camp happens. And then also, I'm sure things came up as you went on and you just sort of added them in because you knew a lot about the topics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that leads us to our next question. You mentioned it earlier and you kind of hit on this a little bit, and I'll start with you, Joey. You said you feel amazing when you're done with this presentation, right? And so one of the questions that we had, and maybe you can start first, like, what's most rewarding about this day? What's the most rewarding part of the journey of an ed camp?
Definitely presenting it to the audience, because you get to see everyone's face, and they're all amazed because they didn't know it before.
Yeah, like what Joey said, but like once you see the reactions to all the hard work you've done, it makes you feel awesome.
Yeah, like what they both said. And like sometimes it like really brings out your day when a kindergartner's like, I never knew that, that's so cool. And a lot of like the fifth graders are like, wow, I didn't know that about the app I had. And it's really cool, and you love the reactions that you get, and you know that the hard work paid off.
Wow.
That's awesome. So it sounds really rewarding. But are there any challenges?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me about them.
Well, one challenge is that you have to find something that you love doing, because a lot of people have multiple things they love.
What else?
Yes. Like Allie said, also you want to find current information so nobody's like, that's not true anymore.
Yeah. And like what Allie said, there's a lot of things that you like and a lot of things that your partner likes, because you're a good friend and you like a lot of stuff. And it's kind of hard to decide because there's a lot of stuff that you love to do.
So you talked a lot about preparing and the challenges with preparing for an ed camp. What about the day of, when you're leading a group of your peers? What's challenging about that?
Well, sometimes you get really nervous and you're afraid, oh my gosh, what if they don't like it? What if they don't like it? And then, but you know in the end it'll turn out okay and everybody will love it.
Yeah, like this morning I was like so nervous, I felt sick to my stomach. But right after I started like my first presentation, I felt I've got this in the bag. It's going to be a great day.
Some difficulties are like you see the sign-up sheet, but like with my presentation, it seemed like there was a lot more people there than actually on the sign-up sheet.
Yeah.
And I think for, you know, both Mr. Jollinger and I have presented too, right? And one of the things that I know for myself as a presenter, when I get up there, I look out at this audience and I'm expected to somehow engage them in a topic of discussion. And I get that feeling, right? The same thing that you talked about. I get that feeling of like, oh, I'm super nervous. And then I start to speak from what I know to be true, and I start to speak from experience of my topic. Is that something that you worked through also? Did you sort of have a method that worked for you? Like, how did you get through the nerves of the presentation? I think that's a big challenge. So how do you get through it? I'm curious. I'd love to learn from you.
Usually, you know, your friend that you're doing it with, she, like, the person usually helps you a lot, and they're like, we got this. We practiced many times. It's going to be okay. And then when you see the audience first reaction, you're doing it, it's really fun.
So two things there. You said some collaboration teamwork and the reaction you get from your base, right? Anything else?
Yeah, it's kind of like what Kayla said, how you rehearse it a bunch of times and you know you have it down. So, like, you, I had once, like, pretty much all the slides that I did memorized, so I felt super comfortable with them.
So it sounds like what you're saying is you practiced a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it paid off.
Practice makes perfect.
Like what Kayla said, like, if you're doing it with a partner, she'll comfort you. Mm. He or she will comfort you. Mm-hmm. And she'll, like, they'll tell you that it's going to be okay.
And even your partner doesn't have to tell you. A lot of people are like, wow, you're going to do a great job, I know, because I saw you practice before, and it's awesome. So
what would you say if we have guests listening who may be students or teachers out there, what would you say to teachers or students, pick one or the other? And what would you suggest to them if they're trying this for the first time and they're going out to do a student-led ed camp, what would you say?
I would say that just own the moment. And it's going to be okay, and just be very calm, because if you get very nervous, then you can't really speak well, and you bluff. But and it's going to be fun. It's really fun.
Yeah, like Kayla said, you just relax and have fun and do what you love.
Yeah, like with those two sentences.
Perfect.
Great. Well, I learned so much, and we just want to thank you for your time. Ed Camp was outstanding today.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time, and hopefully we can share this with some other folks that would be able to learn from you. And, we appreciate your time. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So we are back here at the Quest for Enlightenment podcast with Mike Dresick, Mark Drollinger, and myself, Brian Seppi. And we just heard from the students at South Davis Elementary, fifth grade students, who took part in a student-led ed camp. And so part of this is going to be our reflection of what we know of student-led ed camps and also empowering student choice and voice throughout the process. So I'll turn it over to my colleagues here. Mike and Mark, whoever wants to start, what are your thoughts on what you heard, number one, from the kids at South Davis, and then number two, your experiences with ed camps in general in the classroom?
Well, I think I heard a recurring theme from the students that we interviewed. And one of the things that just kept coming up over and over again was how they really liked the ability to have a choice. All the students kept referring back to, well, we had to choose what we wanted to pick. And it wasn't easy because there were a lot of things that we had to choose from. But when we narrowed it down, they kept saying that their choice was one of the highlights of participating in a student-led ed camp. And I think that's a theme that's popping up a lot in classrooms today. And if we can continue to give kids choice in not only what they're learning, but how they're learning it, I think we're doing a lot of things as educators. Mike, I know you recently had experience with a student-led ed camp. What did you think about the activity?
Yeah, I know. And one of the things, too, just going back to Brian's question, and I'll share some of our experiences, but really, you know, one of the things I liked hearing was the excitement that the kids had for the day. I think there's a little bit about where they're not sure what to expect because maybe it's new to them. I know some of the kids said they had participated last year, but and there's the nerves of sharing in front of your peers. But in the end, it sounds like everyone had a highly rewarding experience. And that was pretty much our experience as well at Lakeshore when we did this, also at grade five. And I heard one of the students saying, best day ever. And that just made me smile to know that, okay, you know, giving up this day. And I say giving up this day because as educators, we feel like we're giving up time for something, but it was so important for them to have a day for them. And I and then it made me think afterwards, well, why does this have to just be one day? You know, can we do it more? It's empowering for kids. And I had a teacher who just retired. So she's not in the classroom this year. She's enjoying retirement, but she's still back. I see her in the schools here and there. She, you know, you can never get away, but she also had tweeted, you know, the best teaching day of my career. So that to me speaks volumes for the, kind of the experiences from the teachers and the students that they're feeling and experiencing something that they don't on a typical school day. So how do we, you know, work this into what we do on a more regular basis? Because there's definitely power in the student-led aspect of it.
Right. And one of the things that popped up for me, too, aside from voice and choice, I think, with the students was I think so often there are conversations around, well, feeling like we have to find some other part of the day to teach through some of the technology tools or assigning technology to kids. And by preparing for sessions for a real world audience, right, that they were going to lead these sessions, I feel like they kind of embrace the challenge in front of them around how do I embed technology to make my presentation, although it's only 15 minutes, how do I make that a little bit more engaging for the audience in front of me? Then you could hear the students talking about how they adjusted for the audience of a kindergarten group versus their peers, right? But I think they were embedding things that impressed me and blew me away. Things like, I had one student in that group, I attended a session, he asked me if he could borrow the clicker. And his whole point borrowing the clicker was to use not only to guide his slides, but he wanted to stand in a place in the room where he could, you know, highlight some things using the red pointer and the laser pointer there. He wanted to highlight some things that he had drawn out on the dry erase board for his session. And I just thought that was pretty empowering for him to know that in my presentation style, I have to stand somewhere other than the front of the room. And I have to highlight some things that are important for the audience to hear. And I just felt like those little nuances really resonated with me because I saw students in a different light that day. They were more confident. They broke down barriers of, you know, this idea of like, I'm going to be the only person up there. Rather, they were embracing the collaborative feel of presenting with somebody else and sort of adding on to what they said in the moment, answering questions in an engaging way. And they also ended with things, whether they were surveys or a few students had cahoots where they actually reflected on the content that they presented. I just thought those were just things that we didn't expect or didn't really encourage, but they left their audience with something memorable. And I'm sure it was memorable for them as well. So that was pretty empowering.
And I think that's just it. It's the audience piece that is so empowering about an ed camp. I mean, I think oftentimes students are preparing work for just the teacher. And I don't know if they're as motivated to put forth their best effort. But when you take kids, when you put them in front of an authentic audience, man, we saw some really great work happen. And I think that the driving motivator for those kids in that case was the audience. They knew that they were going to be presenting first in front of their peers and then again in front of kindergartners and first graders. And they knew that they had a specific audience coming. And I think that we saw the kids working just that much harder because they knew that it was a real audience. So they had to present with purpose. And I think that's one of the powers of an ed camp. And it's one of my big takeaways of participating in an ed camp.
Yeah, and I love that the students here, you know, they could choose to work with a partner or they could choose to work alone. Mm-hmm. And it came up in your questions with them that, you know, they had a chance to choose something that was of interest to them. And I know one was Germany and, you know, whatever their topic might be, just to be able to share the passions that, or, you know, the cell phones thing was so interesting to me, how the students wanted to share about different things about cell phones. And I'm sure, you know, that can go off in so many different directions, but to be able to share that with students. And I think it also builds culture and community for maybe from some students who maybe don't share as much. You know, it was interesting to me to hear you say that you did like 15-minute led presentations. Mm-hmm. Now, our ed camp looked a little, mm-hmm. our student ed camp looked a little bit different. And I think that's, I think in the end, they all have this common theme of student led, mm-hmm. Where the students are leading. What we did was we actually put out, we had a, you know, a Google form, anything you'd like to learn about, and anything you'd want to feel or you'd feel confident sharing about. And I heard some students in your interview say that, you know, it was something that they were comfortable with and something that they felt confident sharing. So mm-hmm. when we took our Google form results in, we took the, you know, we took the top vote getters and then shared that out and built a schedule up around what the kids voted for. And from there, some students were in charge of leading longer sessions. And I think ours, I want to say ours ran about 30 minutes sessions and the kids rotated around. I know you, I remember hearing you guys talk about there being, you know, up to like 15 concurrent sessions going on mm-hmm. at a time. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So it sounds like yours was more widespread, whereas ours stuck to just grade five. But the success of the day for us, it got people talking and other grade levels want in for this year. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's only good that can come of it. I mean, we had a kid, we had kids that were getting up and talking about YouTube and we let them go and I wasn't sure what that was going to turn out like. And I love that it kind of turned into a little bit of conversation about digital citizenship without our prompting it. And it talked about students showing how to create their own channel and, you know, just pointers and tips. And there was a student that got taught kids how to code Python. Hmm. And I'm thinking, we had no idea that this kid knew how to code in Python, but because he had the stage and that platform to share in front of his peers, it was powerful for the teachers to see that. We had somebody do, you know, just animals in general, and the kids brought in their pets with their parents' permission mm-hmm. and the school You know, we worked it out. It was just, you know, and gymnastics. Somebody, and there, you know, it was just neat to see kids choose the gymnastics session and these girls leading the gymnastics sessions and actually laying out the mats and teaching the, you know, the boys how to do cartwheels and different, you know, tricks and things that they're learning in their gymnastics courses. So there was just so much variety. I think it was just special in that way.
Yeah. And you bring up an interesting point with some of that too, in our sessions as well. And I think going back to your larger point, which is I feel like if you're going to start this work, right, whether it's longer sessions and you're surveying staff or you're surveying students or you're leading concurrent sessions where students are allowed to collaborate, I don't think it matters, because I think what you're highlighting here is that it's an opportunity for all of us to come together as a community to learn and flip the script a little bit on, you know, you think it's got to be this presentation that's got to follow a certain form, whereas we give students, empower them to sort of know that they're preparing for an audience and let them lead the way and sort of get out of the way almost, right? And you find out more about their passions. We did have a few students who came in with lizards. That was really cool. We had some students who played some instruments as intro to their presentations. It was like you said, they really rose to the occasion. One group left, each student walked away with either a kind of a container of slime or one of these hair pieces that they showed students how to make, that they were also marketing and I think selling too. So I feel like in some ways it really showed a different side to students. And at the end of the day, they walked away feeling a bit more confident with who they are as people, who they are as presenters, collaborators, and ultimately creating content that mattered for a real world audience. So I thought that was pretty impressive for sure.
Yeah, and the slime must be a thing, because we had a session on making slime as well. I can see the kids have common interest. And, you know, we didn't require them to produce a slide. We were up to them on how they wanted to present and present, but also engage in discussion. That was the key, is, you know, we wanted it to be a full collaborative session where it wasn't always just someone standing up presenting in front of the room. And the kids did a pretty good job with that, with involving everybody. And one was on baking. You know, so they shared recipes and they were actually, you know, cooking and baking with each other, and the kids got to talking about math. So there was a connection to their coursework, and it was just amazing, because we stayed out of their way and we just let it evolve. And that was where the magic was, is that, you know, I think that initially when I brought up the idea, the teachers were a little fearful, like, oh my gosh, what is this going to look like? This is going to be chaos. And when it all was said and done, you know, with a little bit of guidance, and it was awesome. And one of the things we did was we connected with a school in Florida, teacher Dean Ganey, who was also doing a student ed camp on the same day. So we actually had kicked it off with a
cool hangout
where we said, hey, you know, we're from New York. You guys are down in Florida. We are having a student ed camp. We know you are having a student ed camp. We had set up a Flipgrid for each of the groups to share what they learned from each other. So it was neat for the kids in New York to see from the kids in Florida the different topics that were being shared, and also the similarities in what they were interested in as well. So it really definitely helped them see a global picture, which
that's,
I love.
Awesome.
I think as like student ed camp, as it picks up, and as I think this becomes more common as teachers get comfortable with giving up some of that control, and I think we'll see more of that, and there may be formats or forums for these types of collaborations or days. You know, if there's a student ed camp day, where across the country are participating.
And yeah, I agree with that. And let me just highlight too. And I think like you said, it sort of starts with, you know, somebody who's willing to take a risk and be a little bit courageous with changing the model of how they do things. And it's exactly how this was born out of it. It was an idea that, you know, I had never really participated in one or led one, but it was an idea that I saw, that I referenced, and that I floated to a teacher in the building. And, you know, I'll say it, a lot of this credit goes to Jill Schur, Christina Tundo at our building. And if you want to find them on Twitter, you certainly can. They are two of the leaders who have taken this on, and they were looking for an alternative that was unique to the traditional method of sort of reporting out, if you will. And they embraced this model. And since then, they've really become sort of the attributes of the building, where people are going to them to sort of say, well, how are you making this happen? And can we join your session? And like you said, building that community around that. So I give them a ton of credit for getting this off the ground. It is not an easy feat by any means to sort of coordinate the day, but they've been magical in their work as far as working with their colleagues to sort of build a better mousetrap of presentations. And it's been great to learn from them and with them and the students that they lead. So it's all the credit goes to them for sure.
Yeah, I think the important message is that all the hard work really definitely pays off. It's worth it. Take that risk. And that's where we want to leave us today. We want to hear from you. Where do student ed camps go from here? You heard two examples of fifth grade ed camps, but we'd love to hear stories of ed camps and how they reach down to the kindergarten level all the way up through the high school level. So reach out to us on Twitter, leave a comment, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast. And thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much for joining us on our quest. We look forward to continuing the learning with you.
Connect with us on Twitter at Quest for Ed Podcast. And if you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe and leave a review so others can join our quest.
And if you're interested in sharing your journey by being a guest on an upcoming episode, we'd love to hear from you. Please use the form in our Twitter profile at Quest for Ed Podcast.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you on an upcoming quest. Until then, remember to take time to enjoy the quest and teach like you.